They all seemed they slept in different part of the building, but they all seemed to eat together. The older son and the wife, the children. My father was the oldest son, but he came to the United States so he makes some money so he can send his brother and sister to school, because his daddy died when he was very, very young. But anyway, going back to this broth, my grandmother says to my uncle, who was the second son, he says, well, they call me America-san. They didn't give my name. America-san is getting supper tonight. And my uncle laughed. He says, oh, that little thing she's going to make supper. I just graduated high school. I was about 17. She's going to get supper for the family. And grandma said, yeah, she's going to get supper for us. So we had noodles, and I don't recall what it was. I made some kind of okazu, but I used the same broth. I made okazu, and I had some chicken, so I cut that chicken up. So I knew that they think, well, there's just a broth, nothing really to show, but it was a good broth. So I cut up some chicken. I had it bought especially, and I think we had napa and different things, and we cooked it. And my grandmother made the rice. And you know, there wasn't a bit left of that broth that we had fixed. They went, how in the world? I saw my grandmother, it was very good, but she'd take the fresh katsubushi and she'd, you know, make the katsubushi and she'd make the broth and make it for noodles and different okazu. But I used this chicken. So my uncle says, how in the world did you get this broth? And grandmother says, oh, America-san, she went to Katsura and Kashiwa de kara tsukuttanda. So, he's so surprised. So then he tells his wife, they had 3-4 children then. He said, can you imagine making such a beautiful broth with bones? That's what they... But going back to broth, you know, when I went back to Japan again, I was already married then, and to take care of my husband's mother who had passed away and his daddy, we built a home. I went back to see them one day, and I went by this Kashiwa store in the chicken shop, and they were selling the bones.
Okay, then you can start telling me about how you mentioned husband, but when you start to see him more often, or if the word applies when you start to date him?
Well, his father and my father, when they were young, working in a sawmill, knew each other. So when I came to Terminal Island from Venice, I met him working in his Japanese store. And this store was my mother took care of this man who owned this Toma store when he was in Makatil. He was just a young boy, came with short breeches, and my mother took him in like a son. And so that's where my husband was working around Christmas time. That's when I met him. And but really, my mother and father were very strict, so we knew him, say hello, and he was going to high school, and sometimes I used to have a lot of book where he could help me carry it across the ferry boat. Just got known as a friend, and I knew him as a friend, and to say, just casual, because my mother used to say, oh, you make boyfriends, and don't stay home, and you do this. And I said, no, I'll come home. I'll see that I help you. So when I did the work, I never kept the money. I always gave it to my mother. And we didn't get married. I think I knew him about 7 years. Meantime, I talked to the other boys, too, but the boys in Terminal Island all used to say, oh, he's got her, so don't go around her. That's all I know. You know Mr. Fred Wada?
No.
You don't know him. Well, he's the head of our, in Los Angeles, the Japanese elderly, the Cato Rest Home, and this, up on Boyle Heights, we have a, it's for the older Japanese people. It's a rest home and a place to stay. And Fred is the one that started. And he was working for the Arden Milk Company. He was married. I was going to high school. And he liked to talk to us, the girls. And we didn't want to talk to him. Because he had come from Japan. And he was a kide, you know. And he'd say things. And if we don't say hello to him, he'd get after us. And he'd say, "Kora!" like that. And threw ice at us, you know. So we'd hide and go around his truck, and he'd throw ice at us again. So time to time, when I meet him now, I think he's the same age as my husband now. He's 72. And I meet him in different clubs or organizations. He comes snorty around like that, you know. He says, "Arden Milkman," I tell him.
What year did you marry your husband?
1936.
Okay. You had gone to Japan in
36? Before
36. Uh-huh. So you came back from Japan?
Then I became engaged. Well, that was a real quick one, because in those days they had the go-betweens, and Mr. Toma, my mother's good friend and daddy's good friend, was a go-between. And Mr. Thomas told my mother that since we knew each other and he thought it was a proper time, I guess, to have me get married. My mother said in a kind of old-fashioned way, she said, the Japanese girls are supposed to get married by 21. When they're after 21, they're getting to be old maids. And I didn't like the idea, but I said, well, if that's the way the parents want, well, we'll get married. So I think we were engaged in April, and May we were married.
So you got engaged. What kind of expectations did you have of marriage?
Well, I tell you, my wedding dresses and all that my sister made, I really didn't spend much time thinking about, well, I'll have to get married and do this and do that. I knew I had to go to his home. We didn't have a place to go because right after Depression, we'd have to live with his mother and father, which I didn't mind. I know his father liked to drink, and he told me he liked to drink, and my father wasn't much of a drinker. But my husband doesn't drink much. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't gamble or anything like that. So it's going to be hard. But I said, well, I'll take a chance. And that was it.
You mentioned, certainly didn't have a tape recorder on earlier, that since your parents fought from time to time, you had intention of not fighting when you got married.
Mm-hmm.
What did you expect of your relationship with your husband?
Well, when I was young, when I left Washington, my uncle used to tease me. Uncle Sakichi used to tease me because I was the oldest of all the children. He says, when you go to California, and I was about 13, so he says, what kind of man are you going to find? It's what he told me. And I said, oh, I'm not going to marry a man that drinks and smokes. You got to go to church sometime. And I don't like a man going to fight. And so my uncle says to me, oh, he said, you can't find a perfect man. He said, you're not perfect yourself. Oh, I said, I know I'm not perfect. But I said, I don't like the man that drinks and fights and hits. And so when I got married, we didn't have a car. And those days, pretty hard. We didn't have no train from San Francisco. Well, I got married in Methodist Church in Los Angeles. So we took the Greyhound bus, what they called it, Coach Limited or something it was called. There's, I think there's about 14, not more than 20 people. They give you a pillow, you can throw your head back and rest. That's kind of we took 11 o'clock at night after the day that we were married. So we slept our wedding night on the bus, Greyhound. And then go back to my uncle. And I went there, I went out to the ranch. They lived on the ranch after breakfast and went out to see his cattle and on the back of the farm. And he quoted me and says, "What kind of man did you marry this time? What kind of man did you marry?" And he said, so I said, "This time you're going to ask me what kind of man I married. Well, he don't smoke. He'll drink sometime, but not all the time. He doesn't gamble." And he said, "Did you know his father drinks and he smokes and he gambles?" I said, "Yes." "Oh, well, that's all right," he said. "I want you to know." But even our children don't smoke. One of the son-in-law, when he was golfing, he used to have a pipe in his mouth, but in recent years, I haven't seen that either. So when we have a party among ourselves here, we need to have wine.
What was the wedding like? Did your whole family attend
it? Mm-hmm. We had it, the old original Kawafuku. It was in Los Angeles. We had 350 guests, and it was regular Japanese kaishiki, 350. And being that my husband was the only son, he has an older sister who lives in Long Beach. But being the only son, his father wanted to have this Japanese style. And so we had kaishiki. And
wasn't that a large wedding for that period?
What type of food?
No, was it considered a large wedding?
Yes. Yes.
Were you working up to the time to get married? Mm-hmm. And you were still with the ferry boat company?
Mm-hmm. And after I was married, I still worked there. And then my first girl, I worked there until I was almost ready to have a girl because it didn't show. And after, I don't know how many months it was, the boss wanted me to come back to work, so I went back to work again. And then after I had the second girl, 2 years later, I was still working there, so and she was about a little over maybe 6 months or thereabouts. I went back to work and had a little. I took the baby over to. I bathed the baby at. I get up at 5, bathed the baby at 6, and take it over to this little girl, who was recuperating from some illness, but she was able to take care of her and she didn't want to do it. So I paid her, and I left it there, right near my mother's home. And I leave it there until I come back from work and pick her up and go home and then feed her and get supper.
Did you have any knowledge of sex or pregnancy?
No, my mother told me after I had my menstrual, she said I should be hanging around the boys so much because they get kind of petty. And then that's when the trouble starts. Well, I didn't know what the trouble started, but I was taking nursing, see. It was my application. So during that, I had already learned about this, so it didn't bother me anymore.
Did you have these two in our home or in our hospital?
No, I had them all in the hospital. I have a little hard time having them. Because my kutsuban is so narrow that I have to have a little help. Having the children was no problem, but we expected we'll have three, but when I had the little boy, the third child, that little boy didn't have nobody to play with, and I felt so sorry. I said, well, it's wartime, but maybe try, maybe have another one. So we had that with two boys pretty close together. Then I didn't have any more.
Were the children planned in any way?
The first one we didn't even plan. If it came, it just came. And the second girl, I was busy working, so we had kind of watched ourselves that we did that I didn't get pregnant. And then I came. Then when I came here in 39, my husband stayed in Terminal Island and worked while I started this business of mine. So it took us about four hours to come from Terminal Island to here in those days, you know, because it's gravel road and the roads were very bad. And so he'd come about once a month or once 2 weeks. And I guess being so busy and at work like that, I wasn't too fertile. I was a little too frail or something. So, and then that, and I watched. We didn't have any children until we went to camp. So that was about 4.5 years in between behind the two boys.
I hope you don't mind asking these questions, but I was just curious. Did you have any knowledge of birth control since you had nursing education?
Yes. I have you study, and then with me, I went a little further because I worked for the doctor, and I heard doctor talk about these women having these contraceptives in their body. And when we used to do surgery, I used to do help surgery, that they were infected. And I told the doctor, I said, well, I sure don't want to have anything like that. He says, all you have to do is watch when period comes, and so many days in between, you watch. And he kidded me one time. He said, push your husband away. Make him mad. I said, okay, doctor. But a little of this and a little of that had helped, and I really didn't get pregnant. So then after I had the four children, I watched myself. And when I think if I did have any intercourse then, that I might get pregnant, I would tell him. I said, you know, we can't afford another child, and we would take care of ourselves, we wouldn't be burdened by it, and I wouldn't have to be taking anything. So I was very fortunate that I didn't. And I just had the four, and not anymore. I didn't lose any or anything, didn't get pregnant.
When you were working at Dr. Crawford's group, do you know what kind of contraceptives other women use?
I think they still use that type. They use that brass type that they insert.
Well, it's like IUD then.
Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of women that had been infected and was so bad. We had, that's at San Pedro General Hospital up on by Rambler. We used to have to put him in the hospital, and the doctor had to put him to sleep. And one day he brought in the office from this little container. We didn't have plastic in those days. It was some kind of paper he had. He opened it up, and he was going to look at it and see how bad it was. And there's a spring in there. And that spring had that was inserted in there had got loose, and it had got into this woman's vaginal tract, and it infected, and they had to cut that all out. I don't know if the doctor went down and gave her a hysterectomy. We didn't talk much about hysterectomy in those days, but he said, maybe I'll have to take all of it out, and they won't have no more family. So the nurse and myself, we kidded him one day and said, well, how many children do they have? And he says, oh, a lot of them. You can count them on the fingers. You can count them on the fingers, what he said.
Do
But that was a real bad one we saw.
Are you aware of any woman who may have tried to induce her own abortion? Or
during the camp time? World War II, yes. Mm-hmm. We had one young lady who came. I happened to be on duty that day in the barracks, and she wanted to know if we allowed abortion. I said, I don't think so. She says, well, I've got one I want to get rid of. I said, who's the husband? No. And I said, I don't think we have any facilities that we can do that. We're in these barracks, you know, and we're just getting started. We don't have a hospital. But you talk to the doctor. So I took her to Dr. Goda or Dr. Watanabe. We were Manzanar. And I talked to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, we don't have that type of facility. And who's the patient? And I said, well, she's waiting. And you'll talk to her. Well, from there, see, I was mostly in a CD. So I went back to my duty, and next evening about, we were having supper. I was still on duty, and all the people were in the mess hall. And here comes the ambulance with this young woman, and she went through the mattress. And even Matt went through the mattress of that the ambulance. We practically lost her. Fortunately, we had that room that we were doing the surgery in the barracks kind of clean, because after you do cancer or any of this infected, we have to clean the walls and all. We had just cleaned, and here she comes, and I don't know who the doctor was, Dr. Goto or Dr. Togasaki came in. She's a pediatrician. They came in, and they were hustling around there, but we had our duty to do with the small children, so I left. And when I came back to the near the surgery for something, I forgot, I said, well, what happened? And they said, oh, she took a chopstick and she tried to abort it herself. She lost the baby all right, but 4 or 5 days I saw her at a canteen, just didn't pretend nothing had happened.
When you were first married, what was your husband doing?
He was a bookkeeper in Hashimoto Hardware Store. He took a commercial account, a commercial type of work, and while he was working, he took what they call home course, is it, with Columbia University in economics. He liked economics, but since the depression went, it kind of changed his course. And while he was going to high school, I didn't know too much about, but he took this home course in Japanese correspondence high school, because he wasn't able to go to high school. His father and mother had called him to come back, and that was 1921. That's when that immigration law, and that he didn't come by a certain time, that they weren't not going to accept him. So that's how he comes, and he didn't quite finish high school. So he takes correspondence in Japanese from Japan, and he finishes that about the time he finished high school here.
So your husband was in Japan since
then? Uh-huh, till he was, I think, 14.
Was he born there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
he was born in Japan. But he went to grammar school and high school here. Went to grammar school in Terminal Island and finished high school 1929 in the fall or in the spring in 1929, yeah.
He's from Japan.
He's from Wakayama.
Mm-hmm.
He's about a little inland, about Niri from Kushimoto. It's a small country. Something like Elsinore.
When you first married, your husband was working in a hardware store and you were working for the ferry company. Yeah.
First, uh-huh.
And you were living with his friend?
Yes.
Who did the cooking?
I did.
I see.
She didn't like to cook. So it didn't bother me. My mother didn't care too much for cooking, so she didn't either. She used to like to work. But she had a green thumb. Anything she put in the ground, it grew.
What was it like to be living with this parent?
Well, it was kind of hard in a way because I didn't know her needs and what we, the young people, but my mother had told me that if you're going to marry that man who is the only son and the parents are going to look, he'll have to look up the parents, it's your decision to make a new life with a man that has lived with his parents. But I had spoken to my husband at the time that if we do, and he said it would be only a short time because his parents want to go home to Japan and live there the rest of their life. So he is retiring shortly. I guess my father-in-law retired when he was 61 and went back to Japan. And then my mother-in-law passed away. I think she was not even there a year. She passed away. So I went back to Japan in 1939 to build a little home for my father-in-law. I was there 10 months, and I had the two little girls then. And
did you go by?
I go by my. I went by myself. I took the two little Margaret. She was Vera, and Jane was born in January and December. I went, so she was not quite a year old when I took her. She was still in Omotsu. I went from here to Seattle. From Seattle, I went to Vancouver and to the Aleutian Islands and went that way. And then war broke out. Just as I came it hadn't broken out, but the German vessels were lurking around in Hawaii. So my husband wired me to come home because there's no possibility that if the war starts or something happened that I'd never get to come home. And my father was very upset. He said, you wrote to or called your husband when I wasn't around to want to come home and leave me all by myself here. I said, Father, I never called him. I never mentioned once about going home. I built your home. I fixed it, everything up for you so it'd be very comfortable for you, but I have never asked him. But why did he wire? Well, later on he found out. After World War II, when we had come home, my husband went back. We were very hard to get along here because I was just trying to build up my business and people were prejudiced. But I sent him home so his father would understand that it wasn't me that wanted to come home. It was him because of war. But the war had begun, and by that time my father knew why I had to come home. So it was... The Lord has already taken care of for us right there.
Did your mother-in-law also go back in 39?
Yes, she had gone back, yes. That's when she dies, toward the end of the year. Mm-hmm.
And at this time you were still in Turner Island, 39.
Mm-hmm.
Who was responsible?
After I came from Japan, or just before I went to Japan, I had bought this place. And then after I bought this place, my mother-in-law dies, and so I have to go home. And I had rented to a woman to take care of this place while I was away. So I had this before I went to Japan.
Oh, so your mother-in-law never saw the house...
that I built for them? Mm-mm. She was gone. They just had, in Japan, they say, the Sajiki, they had put the concrete, they poured the concrete, and they had put the foundation, in other words. And she passed away. So I went back to finish it. But I cut it down a lot. Because, you know, those onis, on the side of the house where they put those oni, I took three off. It goes too big. And my father-in-law in a way says, why did you take it off? I said, well, you really don't need that much. In fact, it's such a big house that two family could live in it. He loved to have a big place. He was expecting us to come home.
Why did you buy the land up here?
Well, my father said to me one day, he says, nursing is one thing, but how are you going to work 8 hours, take care of the sick, and come home and take care of the family? And my father was here one time recuperating for the winter time between the sardine season and the next season. He had a few months of rest. So he was up here resting, and he had to run to this place, was mortgaged. This lady was complaining, and he was coming here to take the baths. And he said, well, you like that type of work, take care of people and sick. Why don't you go to Elsinore? You can raise your family and decide, watch them and work and take care of your own business. So I came here and I looked it over. I just had one child then. I looked it over and I was going to buy it from this Swedish lady. And after I told her I'd buy it, well, she backed out. So for 1 year, I just let it go. And one day I get a special delivery letter from her to the bank that she decided to sell it again. So I called the bank and I told the banker that I said, I'd come on one condition, that she wouldn't back out, because I wasn't going to spend half a day coming here and half a day going home. And so Gus came over here and talked to her, and she said she wouldn't back out. So then I came here and I contacted my insurance company. I had a little life insurance while I was working. I put a little bit away here, a little bit away there. And I called my insurance company. Oh, yes, you have some money that you can put down. So I came and I bargained this lady. And I told her I'd put so much down, if that was okay. And I went to the bank and talked to them. They said, okay, she agreed. At the time of the escrow finish, I'll give her the rest. And the banker said, you're going to give her the cash? I said, well, I'll work it somehow. I'll get it. So we made a bargain, went to escrow. I didn't have no debts or anything. I was working, and I really didn't have any debts. But I took my life insurance, and I put my first down on it, and I bought this place.
So the decision to buy the lot, your decision, or more of your decision, or more of your husband's decision, or?
Well, it was really my father that started. You have to have a place to stay. And my father and them, during before World War II, they couldn't buy a land. My husband couldn't buy a land because he was Issei, see? So it's my own decision. If I'm going to settle down, I'd have to buy it and put my name down or my foot down. Otherwise, I'd be working for somebody else, and I didn't want to do that. So that was my decision. Nobody here. I was only Japanese. But I asked the Lord to help me.
You had mentioned that you had gone to church with your uncle. Did you keep on going to church after you moved down to California?
Yes. I came to California and I joined this Baptist church in Tumalo Island. I think the Baptist minister is still alive, and he lives in Gardena, Shiraishi. He was our reverend, and I went there until I moved here. And I went a few times here, but I kind of drifted away because the congregation was a little different. I didn't feel at home, so I kind of drifted away, and I say my prayers every night in my heart. And I made my children go to church, but that was another thing. We were the only Japanese here, and it made it kind of hard. And so I'd put the children on my lap, and we'd talk together about it. And I said, when you get married and get bigger, you can get your own church. So my daughter, the oldest daughter, she's married a man. She's a better Lutheran than he is, but she's a Lutheran. And the other children, one married a Catholic. But I don't think they abide by too much of the Catholic rules. But they haven't, I'd tell them, you don't have to join a church. As long as you're a good citizen, you take care of your family, you take care of the people that you deal with, and be sincere, I said, I think the Lord will accept you.
Were other members of your family, your sisters and your parents, mm-hmm. Were they church members also?
No, my mother and father are Buddhist. I have my youngest sister's husband has passed away many years ago. He's a widow, but I've never asked her. I think his parents were Buddhists. They're from Hawaii, but I've never questioned them. But he had a Christian burial. He was a military man, so he had a military funeral. And my next sister, her husband's a military man. I think they're all in a Christian religion. I've never questioned them. But after I was married in a Christian church, and since then my husband has joined me. And the lodge work he does is he has to be a good member in standing with the Lord, especially when you belong to Masonic lodges and things like that. You have to believe in the Lord, who is the Almighty. And I think all those little things like that has really kept the family and the warmth together. There's no Japanese family here, but I enjoy it here.
After the children are gone, were you responsible for the career?
Yes.
Did your husband take any part?
No, sometimes discipline, but very, very little. Like my little boy, he was a naughty one when he was young. He's the best little fella now, but he'd come home fighting or something, and I had to discipline. My mother would bring him over to my business when I'm a little free, and she wanted me to scold him. He would put the book behind his pants, you know, and I'd not knowing to hit him, and my hand would be so sore from spanking him. But I did that, and my mother and father helped me raise them because they lived with me until their children were quite old. I took care of my parents. And the two girls, the only spanking they really know they was paddles when they were in high school. They left for dance or something. They came so late at night, and I was disciplined them, and my husband heard, and he paddled them once. And the girls even say now, they said that was the first paddle and the last paddle.
Can you bring the children up, when they were really young, what kind of, you said that you had the second child was a babysitter then you were still, before you went to Japan, right?
My second?
Your second daughter, I guess.
I had a babysitter for mm-hmm. her while I went to work. Uh-huh.
But, how did you train them with things like toilet training when you were up around the house?
My oldest daughter, she was very easy. When she was 7 months, she was walking around the crib. And my second daughter, it took a little time because I had to take the babysitting. But I didn't work too long because when she was a baby, see, she's born in January, in December, in between the short time that I was working, my mother-in-law dies, and in December I was on my way to Japan. So then I took care of her in Japan. I made a makeshift potty for her, and I put her on the potty and teach her how to do it. And she was very good about it. The only problem I had with my four children was my third boy. I mean, my third child. He was... Well, when he was a baby, we were in the camp, and we didn't have the proper food. So he had them kind of and malnutrition a little bit. And I wasn't able to get the proper food for myself to, because I nurse all my babies. And he got run down, and I wanted to get something, but I did get something from outside, but he couldn't adjust to it. And about that time, I became pregnant again with last baby. So my husband thought, since he had gone on a furlough to Oregon on my uncle's farm, Uncle Sakichi had went out from Wyoming and started a farm in Nitsa, Oregon. So he asked us, maybe we'd like to come and get out of the camp. And we were cleared to go because I was working the hospital, and I worked in the personnel while I was carrying the second baby. I was working then. And so we went out to Inessa, and while I was there, I got a job for 3 months working in the mess hall, taking care of the lunches. And the men that worked there in the, FAA or something, they bring them in for their breakfast and lunch. We make their sack lunch, and supper we feed them. Well, I was there 3 months, and I got pretty big. I had to come home. So a month or two before David was born, I had to come home. And at that time, I put Roy, the sick boy, on some formula. I scouted around, and I went to different drugstores. It was kind of hard to get in a drugstore because during the wartime, yeah. But I was able to go, and I got some formula. And I put him on the formula, and he started to pick up, and that's when he got stronger. But he was the hardest to potty train. To 2 years old, I had an awful time potty training him. But I didn't scold him. But he couldn't even walk at two. He pushed a washtub. We had a washtub out here, and the children would play in the water. He'd push that washtub around, but he really couldn't get up. But I didn't push him because I knew time would come he'd get strong enough to do it. My father used to say, oh, this poor kid. And I said, well, Daddy, give it time. He'll be all right. And after he started to stand up and the formula, and then we put him, I tried to put him on vegetable. But since I guess we didn't get the proper food in the camp, he couldn't adjust to it. And he'd spit it all out, and I didn't force him. I would mash the beets down to get the iron. He'd spit it all over my mother. And spinach the same way. Went to school, and they have hot lunch. They have spinach. He wouldn't eat the spinach. He wouldn't eat the beets. And so the teacher would write me a note that they wouldn't eat the vegetable. So then I had to go to the principal, leave my work, and go and explain it to him what had happened. And that due time, I'm sure he would pick up. And then I put him on cod liver oil. But gradually, he got all right. That's the little fella. I didn't have no problem at all. At 9 months, I didn't even have to diaper him.
When you bought the lot here, had you got more training for nursing other than in high school?
Oh, yes. I went to a physical therapy school in Los Angeles. I went in 1936. So that's right after I was married. I went to school there until 1939, just before I bought this place. I went to school. Attended a school in Hydro and Physical Therapy School in Los Angeles, and I graduated in 1939. So at the time when I was married and before I had this first child, I was going to school then.
Was this a night school?
No, day school.
Day school. Mm-hmm. So at that time you were not working anymore?
No, after I had my oldest daughter, I quit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in between, I was thinking about, my father said that I should find a place instead of nursing, maybe this would do. And I was kind of doing part-time work for the doctor and myself.